We know many of you listen to this podcast on the go, driving to work, working out, even doing chores. Now you can get CPE credit for that time. With Earmark, you can earn free NASBA-approved CPE for listening to the Inside Public Accounting podcast. After you listen to an episode, take a quiz, and your certificate will be ready. Earmark has courses for everyone in your firm, from staff to partners. Get started today at earmark.app or download the free app on the App Store. Welcome to the Inside Public Accounting podcast, where we bring data, insights, and real conversations to the forefront of the accounting profession. I'm Chelsea Summers, the Executive Director of Inside Public Accounting. And today I am joined by someone who has become one of the most influential voices that is shaping the accounting profession right now. Blake Oliver is a CPA and co-host of the Accounting Podcast, the most downloaded accounting podcast in the world, and the founder of Earmark, a platform that delivers free CPE through podcasts. He's also a longtime innovator in cloud accounting, FP&A, and firm technology, and a leader who's challenged how we think about professional learning and engagement. In this conversation, we're going to talk about how education is evolving through platforms like Earmark, how firms can better adopt technology and AI, and some trends that Blake sees emerging through the profession, from talent advisory to next generation of firm leadership. So, Blake, thanks so much for being here today.
Chelsea, it is a pleasure and an honor. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, you focus a lot on CPE, continuing education, and how that's delivered through your platform, Earmark. So how do you see CPE delivery changing? And what does that mean in terms of firms developing talent?
So when I started in this profession, there were basically two ways you could earn your CPE. You could go to an in-person seminar, and often these were all-day events, conferences, where you sit in a room and you hear somebody speak at a podium, and you have to do that for like 8 hours a day, sometimes for multiple days. Sometimes you cram it all into 1 week. And for me, that just didn't work. That might be because I have ADHD. And so for me, sitting in a room for hours and, you know, learning in that way just doesn't work for me. But I also feel like in general, it might not be best for people like of all types. Sure. There might be a better way to learn. The other option, of course, was webinars. And, you know, sitting on a webinar during your lunch break, trying to fit it into your calendar. I found myself choosing courses that fit into my schedule, but not necessarily were relevant to me because I just had to get that CPE requirement done. So when I started the accounting podcast, after a few years, I would get listeners that would come up to me at conferences and they would say as a joke, "I learned so much from your show, I should get CPE for it." And that that is what gave me the idea for CPE for podcasts. And that's why I started Earmark. I read through the 66 pages of CPE rules from NASBA, and I figured out that we could do it. So we reverse engineered on-demand CPE to allow us to use podcasts as the learning activity. And so, you know, for me, it's just like, it's the ideal form of learning where it's on-demand. I can do it anywhere. I can do it while I'm doing something else, which actually helps me pay more attention. So I can do chores, right? I can go work out. I can listen and learn. And then you take a quick quiz at the end to get your CPE. So, you know, it's basically just like CPE that's convenient anytime, anywhere. And our goal is to make it as accessible as possible. And I think that also helps to improve the quality of CPE in the profession because it's a lot less expensive to produce podcasts and to distribute them to a large audience than it is to like try to bring everyone somewhere in person.
Right. Travel and get the hotel and all that's required for the in-person. Yeah.
Yeah. So
it's interesting how good ideas start with a joke and a comment, and then it just sits in your brain and, hey, could we make this a thing?
Yeah. So the first version of the app was literally me designing it with a guy I found on Upwork who lived in Pakistan. And I basically just hired him and paid him a salary out of my earnings. And we built it together. It took like 8 months, but it's amazing what you can do. And now with vibe coding, I'm sure you could do it even faster and with less money.
Sure. So speaking of technology, the IPA data this year shows that firms are really struggling with implementing AI and workforce tools. So in the 2025 survey, only 10% of firms have taken advantage of AI functionality in all the available softwares, and 72% are taking advantage in some of their softwares. From your experience, how can firms better bridge that gap between the innovation and the practice of that technology?
So of the firms that have adopted AI, I'm assuming that it's mostly they bought team subscriptions of ChatGPT or Microsoft Copilot for their teams, which is a great first step. Like, you want to give people access in a secure way, and you know, you don't want them out using the free version of the tool or buying their own subscription. The challenge with this is that we've given access to the tool, but we haven't really taught people how to use it. Mm-hmm. And that's where I see in the data a lot of firms lagging, is that they've, you know, given access, but only like at most a quarter of firms provide any training at all at this point. There is training out there, like on YouTube, you can go learn how to do prompt engineering and stuff like that. But there's nothing really like structured. There's not a lot that's structured for accounting firms. So that's something that we want to do more of at Earmark, right, is help with that. I think there's also just a fundamental difference with this technology versus other types of technology that make it especially challenging to deploy. And that is that other technologies were easier for young people to adopt. Cloud technology, for instance, because those of us who grew up in the era of like Google going to college and learning how to do research, like we were just using that tool. We were using Google and we were using cloud-based tools to work in college. And so when we went into the workforce, it was easy to adopt that because we'd already learned. With ChatGPT, it's actually less about technology and more about the prompt engineering to get the quality results. And we're actually seeing that more experienced people get better results with ChatGPT, not the staff, not the younger people. And I think it's because when you are writing a prompt, when you are basically delegating something to an AI agent or a ChatGPT instance, you are better off if you've done that before, like with people. Delegating a task to AI is very similar to delegating a task to people. You have to give it an objective. It has to be simple enough for it to accomplish without being overly complicated. You have to give it enough context. You have to give it a lot of information. And so that's actually really challenging for young people who have not delegated before, but have only been doers. So that's one of the big challenges with AI, is that it's just like a fundamentally different technology than we've encountered in the past.
And then it seems like there's an art to receiving that response and then understanding what it's telling you and being able to verify and know, yes, this might be factually accurate, but it's not accurate in the spirit of what the information is that you're looking at. I mean, we're seeing instances in the news right now of, you know, where AI has gone rogue and done other things. Yeah. And there has to be some experience there to be able to make a judgment on the answers as well.
That's right. You have to review it and be able to tell if it's on the right path or not. And how can you do that if you haven't been that at that point in your career or done that type of work? And so that's why I think, you know, we saw the recent embarrassing situation in Australia where I one of the big four got caught using AI to generate like a multi, you know, 100-page report for the Australian government as part of like an audit of one of their programs. And it contained citations of books that weren't real in the footnotes. And so building in the review process for this work, I think is a challenge, because it used to be that if you just did the work, you knew that at least there'd been some sort of like quality check that happened along the way, like a human did this. But when a human can just prompt AI to create it, we get what's called work slop sometimes, right? And it's just either something that looks good, but when you actually dig into it, doesn't mean anything or is incorrect, right, or just contains outright like false information. So yeah, that's a good point, Chelsea. It's like you also need to be experienced enough to be able to review the work of the AI.
Any suggestions for the firms on ways to bridge those gaps? Anything interesting that you're hearing about or working on?
Well, so I like education about effective prompt engineering, I think is something that every firm should be doing, right? Teaching employees how to write effective prompts, but also not relying on them to all do this themselves. You give everyone a ChatGPT subscription, you say, just go for it. Some people are going to thrive and some people are going to struggle. And you're going to get differing levels of quality because everyone is making up their own prompts.
Sure.
So one way that you can overcome this is to use like ChatGPT projects or custom GPTs. They're similar tools, and you can and create these like basically saved prompts and use them among multiple people to share them with the team. So if you come up, if your team develops like a really good prompt for, say, writing engagement letters, then or doing some pricing activity, create a project, share that with the team so that it can be done in a consistent way every time. And then you can work to improve it based on feedback.
I like that. It's almost like the templates or standard operating procedures, but just AI versions of them.
That's right. Yeah. Imagine if like the situation was when we went into the cloud, everybody just started like putting stuff anywhere. We had no like folder structure or organization. Like, you'd get some benefits, but then it would also be very confusing.
Nobody would then be able to replicate the work, which
That's
is
right.
what we're seeing now is, like you said, everybody's doing things differently and then they're getting different results from it.
That's right.
So you talked a little bit about how you're seeing a difference in the abilities of the younger professionals versus the older ones. In terms of CPE, the younger professionals tend to value flexibility and they want to learn differently. Just like you said, you founded Earmark because you wanted to learn differently. So how do you think podcast-based CPE addresses these generational preferences?
Well, I think that I wouldn't say it's necessarily a generational preference. I think everybody would like CPE that's more convenient and on demand and anywhere. I think that the difference is that in the older generation, there is less of a need for, say, work-life balance, right? Mm-hmm. Because the generation that of partners that we have now, the older partners, right? They came into the world of accounting where it was, you were going to dedicate your life to this firm and you can have a family, but you're not going to be the primary caregiver. And you know, that means working effectively 50, 60 hours a week or more for extended periods of time. And we all know that that makes it impossible to be, you know, the full-time caregiver or even 50-50. Like, and I know this because I tried it with my wife. Like I worked at a large accounting firm when our son was a few years old, and it was just not possible for me to be 50-50, right? I believe that like that younger people like me and younger, we want to be able to have a family and to be able to, you know, not have the situation that my parents had where it's like my dad went out and worked and my mom stayed home and raised the kids. Like we want more flexibility in these arrangements. And if we want to actually like solve the gender gap at the higher levels of accounting firm leadership, which is still really bad, it's like 19% of partners are women, we have to figure out how to adjust this work-life balance thing. And so in my small way with CPE at Earmark, we are working to do that because we are making the CPE something you can do anytime, anywhere, so you can fit it into your crazy busy schedule, right?
Right.
And if we can give people back a week a year, you know, that's more time they can spend with their kids or more time they can spend on their hobbies or more time they can spend on whatever it is that's outside of work. So like, that's the difference, I think, is that it's like younger generations, we want to work hard, but we also want to have balance with our personal lives and our family lives. And mm-hmm. we want to be able to succeed and not have to compromise, like not have to say, well, I'm never going to make partner if I want that. And I think as a profession, we want that too, right? And we can say everything we want about, you know, wanting more diversity, wanting more women in partner roles and wanting to fix this problem. But until we fix the underlying issues, which is the workload compression, mm-hmm. And on the CP side, it's like the CPE compression that happens at the end of the year, like we're not going to actually solve the problem.
Yeah. And some of it, Rob and I just talked on a recent podcast about the communication problem that the accounting profession has, that some of those issues are starting to get better, but we're not doing a good job of telling the staff and telling incoming college students or high school students who may be looking at accounting what that looks like. So when they see things like using technology to get their CPE, that shows a profession that is concerned about those things and is taking their well-being into an account, not just mm-hmm. the 60-hour work week. So I think that's a step in the right direction in the communication to and the communication outreach for the public accounting profession.
That's right. You know, it's the same thing with remote work too, right? It's like, we may not be able to do anything in the short term about like the deadlines, which drive a lot of the workload compression in firms.
Sure.
Even if we try to like reduce the number of hours or not pay as much attention to billable hours and move to another like performance-based measurement system, we still have these like deadlines.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, it's about removing these like these artificial, there's both real and artificial barriers to having flexibility and to having what a work-life balance. And I know there's people out there say, oh, there's no such thing as work-life balance, but I think there can be because I've had it and I believe in it. And so the artificial barriers include like the CPE that has to be done in person. And the artificial barriers include like the fact like, you have to be in the office every day.
Sure.
Because you don't. We all know that you can be productive on a hybrid schedule and the evidence proves that out, right? So let's get rid of those artificial barriers. And then something I'm passionate about is also getting rid of the regulatory barriers that cause this issue. Like why do we have these crazy deadlines in accounting? They don't have them in other parts of the world the same. And we see better, you know, we see bet more balance. So like we have to just step back and get rid of these assumptions, like start tackling these assumptions that we've always had that the work has to be done this way.
Yeah. And I feel like the accounting profession is at a very pivotal point where I think some of those things that have always been the way they've always been done, both the younger generations and just the evolving world that we're in, is causing a lot of those assumptions to be questioned. So it's a good time to step back and say, are we doing this because it's necessary, or are we doing this because it's always been done this way? Is there a better way that we can do it?
That's right.
So speaking on the shifting accounting profession, IPA tracks a lot on the movement to advisory services, right? So for years, you know, firms are going to become strategic advisors for their clients. And for those top 100 firms in 2021, 37% of their revenue came from non-compliance services. This year, that was 41%. So do you see a role that education and easy access CPE play in helping to equip the firms to shift into advisory services?
Definitely. You can upskill your like mid-level, entry-level employees very quickly. I mean, AI is just like a fantastic learning tool in and of itself, just like being able to ask questions and get answers to these incredibly complex questions you could never solve with Google. It's like, I think of ChatGPT as on a research scale as like, you know, Google times 10 times 100. I can learn anything now. I mean, my wife was having trouble with her work computer and I wasn't available to solve it. And my son used ChatGPT and took a picture and like figured out how to fix it. It wouldn't boot up, you know, he figured it out, like, and he's 10, right? So you can learn anything. Unfortunately, like, the CPE standards are written in a way that makes it difficult to like give credit for that. So I want to work towards like figuring out how can we with our app allow people to learn like dynamically, where it's not a course that was produced ahead of time and they're now consuming, but it's like some sort of like AI-based learning that happens, where I could say in the Earmark app, I want to learn about this, and we could actually generate a course for credit on the fly. Now, there's a lot that would have to happen.
Sure.
Because we also want to make sure there's review and that this isn't incorrect information. But I mean, maybe we could do it like pretty quick, right? We could turn it around in like, you know, a day or something like that. I would love to, you know, figure out how to do that.
That one is just blows my mind. But I see so many benefits to that, especially with regulations coming out and constantly evolving information and economic markets that we're in. I mean, things are changing quickly. So being able to learn quickly and dynamically and understand how new legislation is impacting. I mean, that seems like there would be a lot of benefit even just in that small space. I'm sure you think on it, the benefits compound.
You know, it's funny, though, because I get into this mode of thinking, oh, we can use AI to create courses. But then I think, I'm not sure we want to go that far with it because we've got these amazing human instructors.
Sure.
And so what we want to do is just basically be the platform for them to create the educational content and distribute it out. And by being the like most streamlined, low cost way to do that, we can bring down the cost of CPE. That's why our platform is free to start. You can earn one CPE for free per week. Nobody else offers that with the quality of the content we have. And, you know, we do that because the goal is let's make CPE affordable, accessible to everyone, and make it like really affordable and easy for our instructors to add CPE to their content. And that increases the diversity of voices that are educating the profession. You know, it brings us instructors who've never been able to reach a big audience before. It gets more ideas out there. And my belief is that the more ideas that are out there percolating through the profession, the more new voices that are heard, that inspires more people to come into the profession because they see a profession that is as diverse as they are.
Yeah. And you're getting all those differing perspectives and not just the people who could afford to travel and speak and do the presentation circuits.
That's right. It's not just about CPE for partners who can afford to pay thousands of dollars to go. It's about CPE for everybody else too. And high quality CPE.
Right. Like you said, instead of choosing courses that fit into your schedule and work on your 1 hour break that you have today, it's things that are actually upskilling you for this new environment.
That's right. So we're starting to produce some like what we call like subscriber only content. you know, our subscriptions are still very affordable right now, under $200 a year for an individual, and even less if you buy it as a firm. We offered, you know, bulk license deals for firms. And we're starting to take some of the revenue that we've, you know, we're building up, our subscription revenue, and we're reinvesting it into creating, like, to paying instructors to create content on Earmark.
Yeah.
So, because we've relied on instructors giving their content to us, but we also want to pay instructors who are willing to create, like, the niche technical content that we need. So
yeah.
We're creating some tax content, we're creating audit content, we're creating a GAAP content, and we're trying to do it in a way that's, like, modern and interesting and fun. And yeah. So that's our goal for 2026.
I love that. So looking towards, you know, 2026, 7, 8, as the host of the most downloaded accounting podcast, which maybe one day the Inside Public Accounting podcast will dethrone you. But for now, what trends do you hear repeatedly, and how do you see the profession of public accounting changing in the coming years?
Ooh, well, the biggest change that I'm hearing about right now and that I'm watching in the news is like the reduction in hiring of, like, entry-level staff at the Big Four.
Mm-hmm.
The Big Four have been offshoring for a long time. And now they're using technology and AI to automate a lot of the work that these entry-level staff accountants used to do. And the deal has always been that you would go to the Big Four out of school, like, that's what the majority of accounting grads would do, go to a big firm, and then you would work for 2 or 3 years, and you'd get that logo on your resume, and then you'd go, if you didn't move up, which, like, 90% or whatever did not, right? Well, maybe it's less. It depends on which level you're talking about. But, you know, the most do not. They leave and they go into industry and they get a good job in industry. And then they can, you know, move up to manager, controller, maybe CFO. That's always been the traditional path. And that is getting disrupted because we don't need humans necessarily to do, like, the basic audit work or tax work at these big firms. So we actually have consultants going around, and Barry Melanson actually did this as well, former president of the ASCPA, going around and showing a chart that's the traditional, you know, pyramid of
right.
the accounting firm. And at the bottom of the pyramid, you have the staff, and the corners are cut off on this diagram. And one
yeah.
corner that's cut off says technology, and the other says offshoring. And I look at that chart and I think, well, how can this be the new model? Because if you actually, like, tried to stand it up, it would fall over, right?
Right.
Because the bottom is getting really, really tiny. And where are you going to get those managers and directors and partners if you don't have them coming in at the staff level? So I think what's happening is we're seeing a shift where more grads are going to go directly into industry and not into public accounting first. And that we might actually see people going from industry into public accounting once they have experience. Like, we're going to flip it around, right? 2 or 3 years of experience in industry, then you go to public and you start doing audits, which I think is a great idea. Because it's crazy to me that we have auditors auditing public companies and who have never actually put together financial statements, right? Auditors ought to have some experience. So I think it's a good thing, but it's going to be extremely disruptive because the universities are not, like, geared up to teach accountants what they need to know in industry first, which is more
right.
practical. How to do the work versus how to review the work. I feel
yeah.
like we learn a lot right now how to review the work. So what are we going to need in schools? We're going to need more practical courses, right? Like, let's teach them how to work inside of an ERP or in QuickBooks. Have a course on that. Have a course on, you know, like, internal controls in practice, like bill approval workflows and, you know, whatever else it is that you need to be successful in industry.
Yeah, I've been seeing similar. And my thought goes to, you know, you always hear that industry has better salaries. So how is that going to kind of change compensation structures at firms? If we're looking at people from industry moving into accounting firms, you know, we really need to take a hard look at the salaries and compensation levels and benefit structures at the accounting firms to be competitive and get those individuals.
But I think we're seeing that in the data, and it might have been some IPA data that I was looking at where I saw that, like, even though the number of positions is decreasing at firms, the compensation's going up. So the comp is getting, it's not going down. It's getting added to the salaries of the people who are staying. And that makes sense because you can just be so much more productive as an auditor managing, you know, an AI workflow. Or maybe, you know, a bunch of AI agents once those start to, like, live in our Microsoft Teams and be our direct reports, which is going to be a strange world. We're getting there.
There's a lot of things that are coming out right now that are going to make for a strange world. And technology seems to be at the forefront of most of those.
Yep. Yeah. Just imagine in public accounting, right? If you're a manager, you know, maybe you used to have like, I don't know, like a half a dozen direct reports. And imagine that like four out of six of them are AIs. And like they check in with you every day and they say, here's what I did overnight. And, you know, you review the work and give them feedback and they go and they do more. I mean, it's, we're not that far away from that.
But the managers certainly aren't ready to manage that.
Right.
So how do we teach that? That there's a lot of learning and figuring out on the go for everybody in a situation like that.
But I think we tend to overestimate how much change there's going to be in the near term, but we underestimate how much change there will be in the long term. So, you know, in the next few years, is it really going to change all that much? Maybe not. But like in 10 years, I see like a huge change in the profession in like the next 10 to 20 years. The same way it took about that long for the cloud revolution to really change how firms operate, where we're now in this like basically hybrid or virtual environment at all public accounting firms.
Right.
You know, I mean, I can't think of a single firm that like requires everyone to come into the office every day anymore. I mean, they're very, very rare. So
yes, exactly.
That's a huge change.
Certainly, especially if you look back 10 years ago, we were talking business casual Fridays, not where are you working today on Friday?
Not yoga pants every day. That's me.
Well, this has been great. I had a lot of fun chatting with you today, Blake. Tell everybody if they want more information on Earmark or to talk to you, how can they get a hold of you?
So check out Earmark. It's so easy. Download the free Earmark app from the App Store or the Google Play Store. You can create a free account. You can also do this on your computer at earmark.app. Go to earmark.app in your web browser. Again, you sign up for a free account and you can earn one CPE for free every week. If you want to support the work we do and get unlimited, you can subscribe. And we offer team discounts. So if you want to sign up your entire accounting firm, we'd love to talk to you. Email sales@earmark.me and we'll talk about getting a license for everyone in your firm. And we can set it up so that it's like everyone on your domain just automatically gets an unlimited subscription. And if you want to listen to the accounting podcast, you can earn CPE for that on Earmark. Just go to accounting.show in your web browser or just search accounting podcast on your podcast player of choice and we will pop up there. We're a weekly roundup of news in the accounting profession along with my analysis and opinion. So if you've enjoyed listening to me on this podcast, I hope you'll like listening to the accounting podcast. And I co-host that with my friend and partner in crime, David Leary, who also is a founder of Earmark, and he spent almost 20 years into it. And I spent, you know, most of my career in a small accounting firm and then in a larger one and then in tech. So we kind of have like a variety of perspectives and we like to bounce those off each other every week.
Well, Blake, thanks so much for joining me and for all of the work you're doing to make learning and accounting more accessible and modern and meaningful for the individuals. You can find more data-driven insights from Inside Public Accounting on insidepublicaccounting.com. And if you enjoyed today's conversation, please follow the show, share it with your colleagues, and we'll see you next week as we continue to explore numbers and narratives shaping public accounting. Thanks.